Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives, in case you didn't know.
Hi.
Hi. And this is the second episode of the night that we're recording, and we're going to say that a lot because that's what we're doing from now on.
And I'm pretty sure people can tell because we're talking at like a mile a minute. This is not the normal easing you into an episode.
Well, because it's also like, we just did the spiel and everything before, so we're like, okay, let's just keep
this going. It's also 10:30 on a Tuesday night.
10:30 on a Tuesday. So we're doing a mini episode, which, in case you don't know what that is, we're going to tell you stuff that happened in the news. We're going to talk to you about our opinions about it. We might even throw in a few listener stories here and there.
Yeah, you know, everywhere, all the things. Let's do it.
I'm about to go into something so depressing. I can't.
Okay, yeah. We always start with the worst.
Hurricane Florence. I can't.
Oh, my God.
I can't go into this, like, laughing. Okay. Okay. Yes, we start with the worst. So, Hurricane Florence is going on right now in North Carolina. I'm not going to get too into the nitty-gritty of any specific stories involving it. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention, so I'm going to give you guys some good bullet points here. Hurricane Florence made landfall on North Carolina coast on Friday with 90 mile per hour winds, which is bonkers. At least 25 deaths have been linked to the storm in North Carolina and 6 in Southern Carolina, 1 in Virginia from a tornado that related to the storm. That's too many deaths.
Yes, it is.
That's 32
now. Hello, climate change.
But global warming doesn't exist and climate change doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's... It makes me really angry, and, like, I, of course, Hurricane Florence and the situation happening there deserves its own attention, completely separate of this, but the Trump administration has made it very easy to kind of compare and contrast their reaction. The reaction to this has been bad, first of all. And they have defunded FEMA to fund ICE.
Yeah.
To give more funding to ICE. So, first of all... That's fucked up. First of all, that's fucked up. And then secondly, you have Trump right before this hurricane touched down talking about what Puerto a great Rico. Job he did in Puerto Rico and how the Dems are lying about the 3,000 deaths in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And how he did such an incredible job, so don't worry about Hurricane Florence. It's going to be fine.
It's like, but 3,000 deaths.
But he's like, that's a lot. I mean, it's revisionist history in real time, which is really scary and fucked up.
It's incredibly
fucked up. But if I lived in the Carolinas and I was hearing that, it certainly wouldn't
put me at ease.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Florence brought record rainfall, which could produce more than 40 inches of rain. And apparently Trump is visiting on Wednesday.
I can't wait to see what Melania wears.
Oh my God, the fucking jacket that she wore?
Well, every time, like when she went to visit the hurricane in Houston and she showed up in like high heels and a FLOTUS hat.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And then she went to visit Puerto Rico and wore that stupid fucking jacket. So let's see what she shows up in to North Carolina.
Well, no, the jacket was when she...
that was the detainees. Either way, woman does not know how to show up in a crisis.
No, does not understand.
It's her own personal...
Does she not have a stylist?
I think she does.
People have someone that dresses them every day.
She does.
It just seems so deliberate. It's fucked up.
It is. It's super fucked up. And she treats it as her own, like, fucking tragedy runway show. Yeah. So
that's all I really have on it right now because I just wanted to bring it to people's attention. There's so many stories involving Hurricane Florence that I could get into. But this is supposed to be a mini episode and we have, you know...
A couple other things to touch on.
Yeah, I just wanted you
But just
all to
in
know.
General, like, yeah, keep your eye on that. And just 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico. And don't let anybody fucking tell you otherwise. Don't buy into this fucking 1984 shit that we're living in where we just make things up because it suits us, which is what Trump is doing. So don't be fooled by that. And I know that most of our listeners wouldn't be... taken in by something like that, but the fact that it's happening at all is very scary. So just be aware. Just be aware.
So today, T was like, basically, he asked if everybody dies. I said yes. He's like, what happens when you die? And I was telling him, well, some people have religion. They believe in heaven and hell. Some people believe in reincarnation, which is like you come back as other things. And some people just believe when you die, you die. And I told him that, like, reincarnation, like, if you're a bad person, maybe you'll come back as, like, a cockroach. And he's like, Donald Trump's gonna come back as a cockroach, and then you're gonna smash him, and you're gonna kill him, and then he's never gonna come back. And I was just like,
listen, I'm not saying,
damn, son.
I'm not saying you're right. But I'm not saying you're wrong either.
No. So, and I was like, I'd like to come back as a dog.
I was going to say I would like to come back as a cat because cats just do what the fuck they want.
I mean, that's the same with dogs, too. Like, Dorothy today is like, I'm going to go under this bookcase, and this is where I'm going to live for the next 6 hours.
Yeah, man. I appreciate them. I appreciate them. Yeah. I have such a love for, I mean, love for dogs, too, but I have still love for cats because they're just so, like, I don't give a fuck about your opinion. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that I have is, just because it's been kind of in the news in my face lately, is Brett Kavanaugh.
Yep.
We are still pending his confirmation. The confirmation hearings have happened, but he has not been confirmed into the Senate yet. However, there is a woman who has come forward with accusations recently. She wanted to remain anonymous originally. Senator Feinstein got an anonymous letter from a woman claiming that he attempted to rape her in high school. Mm. So she wanted to remain anonymous, but a BuzzFeed reporter found her. I guess she's a teacher or something, and she figured that her information was going to come out anyway. So it really sucks.
Yeah.
But she was kind of like bullied, not bullied, but she was kind of strong-armed mm-hmm. into. She could either come out on her terms or on someone else's terms. So mm-hmm. she came out. Her name is Christine Blasey Ford.
I have a little something about that particular.
Yeah. Okay. So her allegation is that they were at a party together. He was drunk and he attempted to rape her. And this was so traumatic for her that she sought counseling for it. She sought therapy for it in 2012 when she told her husband. So she has that amount of proof that she went to, I mean, she's presenting that as like proof that she went to a therapist. Brett Kavanaugh's response to this has been to very quickly, him and his team were able to compile a list of women from high school, 65 women who, it's so stupid, I can barely like get it out of my mouth. 65 women who went to high school with him is what I thought he said that he didn't rape them, so he must be fine, right? Like, no, like, that's what they're saying. So
I don't, I can't.
Right, I mean, it truly makes no sense. He, and also, the speed with which they came out with this document, I'm like, did you have that shit on the ready? Like, you guys were ready to be like, look at all these women who says he's not a rape. Like, he didn't rape them, so it's fine. Like, I saw the equivalency of someone being like, Jeffrey Dahmer's defense being like, here's all the people he didn't eat. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's not how that works, dude. Like,
I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm laughing because I'm imagining Jeffrey Dahmer's defense attorney being like, he didn't eat you.
Yeah,
he
so,
like,
obviously.
Clearly, he's not a cannibal.
He's not a people eater if he didn't do that.
Is he purple? He's not a purple people eater.
I rest my case. But yeah, so that's what they've basically said is that, like, but also on top of that, Brett Kavanaugh went to an all-boys school, so these were just girls who, it's come into question whether or not these girls even knew him in high school. They all went to different high schools, so it's,
I mean,
it's,
they could just put names down.
Yeah,
it's, like, it's, Julie Johnson, Kathy Jacobson, like, right. These are all very,
very,
like,
common names. Yeah. I'm sure wherever he's from, they had at least two Julie Johnsons. So that was kind of their defense, and you can kind of tell in the way that they've gone about this that their defense is going to be like, well, it was 36 years ago, you know, and he has kind of said, let me see if I can find it. He basically says that he remembers it differently, which he's not, he's denying that it was a sexual assault, but he's not denying that he doesn't know her.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, this situation in which maybe she, quote-unquote, like, conflated something.
Which I think actually kind of helps him in his case, because I think people are like, oh, well, he's not saying that something didn't happen. He's saying that that's not how he remembers it.
Right. You know? Yeah. He's basically saying that, like, his drunken recollection is more credible than her recollection.
Yeah.
So she said with him being the drunken party in this situation, and
But people, it goes back to boys will be boys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, men are going to have the upper hand in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, because it doesn't really matter. However you remember the situation, it was traumatic enough for her to seek counseling about it. And Agreed. She passed a lie detector test. Now, we know that lie detector tests are not always credible. However, she obviously is showing that she has nothing to hide. She has very little to gain from this. I mean, she's got people already trying to, like, dox her and expose her, and people are threatening her already.
Right. This is not something that helps your career.
It doesn't make your life easier in any way.
It really doesn't.
There are some people on the right. I know that Lindsey Graham has said that they need to evaluate this before they can confirm Brett Kavanaugh. And Kellyanne Conway, weirdly enough, has has said, I think the woman should be heard, and not to try and, like, shut her up. To me, I always take all of this with a grain of salt, because I feel like it's all just kind of trying to keep it quiet so they can sneak a confirmation in there, because they definitely want Brett Kavanaugh in this seat. It will be a very sad day. I'm definitely going to have to go out and get a drink on that day.
I'll join you.
When Brett Kavanaugh gets confirmed, because I think he probably still will get confirmed, which is really sad and scary. But in the time being, we have
this. That's just our life.
Yeah, we have this kind of update, and this is the first time we've ever really, like, talked about Brett Kavanaugh on this podcast, because we were kind of just waiting for him to be confirmed so we could have a conversation about his record and things like that. It has been, I've seen clips of the confirmation hearing, and there are some people who I just want to slow clap. Like, Kamala Harris, man, she took him to task at the confirmation hearings, and so there's little bright specks, but that's all I got for him.
I'm going to talk about the Emmys.
Oh, talk to me.
Particularly the political Emmys. The political quips or notions or themes of the Emmys this year.
I didn't watch it, but Colin Jost and Michael Che are the hosts, which is amazing.
I don't really know who they are.
They're the SNL Weekend Update.
I don't really watch SNL.
I watch it. Okay, never mind. Sorry. They're amazing.
But I'm going to kind of take you through the different things that were seen, heard, experienced at the Emmys that were in political interest. So, Time's Up supported Christine Blasey Ford, who accused Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault by distributing pins that say, I believe Christine Blasey Ford and I still believe Anita Hall.
Oh, awesome. God, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. We should have an entire episode on Anita Hall, because
we definitely could. So
That's basically what's happening all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is that Sarah, I have a lot, so I'm just going to, like, get through this.
Yeah, burn them out.
Sarah Sophie Flicker, an actor and wife of the GLOW director Jesse Peretz, wrote Stop Kavanaugh on her arm, along with the phone number for the U.S. Capitol switchboard. Jennifer Lewis wore Nike to the red carpet and spoke out in support of Colin Kaepernick, saying, I'm wearing Nike to applaud them for supporting Colin Kaepernick and his protest against racial injustice and police brutality. Jennifer Lewis is on Black-ish, and it's amazing. It's funny, because I was looking, like, what celebs wore to the red carpet? Mm-hmm. And I, like, looked and I saw that she was wearing Nike, and I didn't even have to know.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, 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 queen.
I see you, girl, snaps. Evan Rachel Wood brought Amanda Nguyen, the author of the Sexual Assault Survivors' Rights Act, as her plus one. The opening number, Titus Burgess, referenced men in Hollywood who were accused of sexual assault by singing, page flip, banished every creep who broke the law. Now they're serving hard time at that Arizona spa. Yes, we solved it. Won't cut them any slack. They've been waiting 9 long months. Now let them all come back.
Oh, yeah. Referencing a good Louis C.K. reference, I appreciate.
They said something, yeah, they were saying that somehow that was a reference to Weinstein, too, but I didn't have time.
Well,
to
Louis C.K., it literally was 9 months.
9 months,
and
yeah.
He came back at his
stand-up that we talked about. Yeah. Michael Che said, the first Emmys were held back in 1949. Things were very different back then. Gas was 17 cents a gallon. A new home cost $7,000. And we all agree that Nazis were bad.
I saw that. That was in his opening monologue. That's the only thing I've seen from the Emmys. Oh, my God. Michael Che is so fucking funny. That's another one. Like, his stand-up, if you've not seen his stand-up special, I think
I
it was on Netflix. It is so funny. He has a bit about Black Lives Matter that is hilarious.
Definitely like to check it out.
Catch that. But yeah, man, especially having come off our white supremacy episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, what the fuck happened in this country? Like, when I was a kid, calling someone a Nazi was like the biggest insult you could give somebody.
Yes.
And now it's like, it doesn't.
Nazis everywhere, guys.
Nazis everywhere. We were almost desensitized to the term. It's weird.
Ugh, gross. Rachel Brosnahan, who won for
Marvelous Miss Maisel. Yeah.
I've never seen it because I don't have Amazon because I'm a cheap motherfucker, but I want to. She used her speech to educate about the importance of registering to vote.
God, please, guys. Sorry. Please turn out to fucking vote. Please, please do it.
And I have not always been the best about that in the past because I'll procrastinate, but I'm really putting in an effort, and I feel like if my anxious self can like get that shit done.
I feel the same. Look, man, I do not like going to vote is not like the most fun thing in the world, but I have gone to every election since Trump.
Yeah.
Every election since before Trump. But like definitely after that, I was like, I am not missing an election. And voter turnout has still been really low. And you guys, I know it's not fun, but it literally takes you like 20 minutes. Just go and do it.
Yeah, look at the different, like, go to your nearest. Like, mine is actually really not that bad. I walk down there.
Mine's
never
not
have
bad
to
either.
Wait. Like, it's really painless.
Yeah, mine takes max 30 minutes, max. Like, usually less than that. Just go, just do it.
Yeah.
Please, 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 we need you.
Also, Ryan Murphy dedicated his award to the LGBT victims of hate crimes. And I thought that was really wonderful of him, too.
That's another
show that I did background on. I did the Versace show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Ryan Murphy has been an advocate for the LGBTQ community. I had a friend who worked on that show, Pose.
Yeah.
Which definitely put a spotlight on that.
I don't know about Ryan Murphy as a person.
I know someone who knows him who likes him.
Okay,
so.
But I think that the work that he does is fantastic, and yeah. I admire it a lot, and I think that he has a very creative, unique mind and voice
mm-hmm.
that I really appreciate, so,
yeah.
I mean, bravo. I don't think he's perfect, but bravo to
Ryan
Murphy.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of people who look at these award shows and see these celebrities, and it's like, ugh. They have to make it so political, and it's this whole thing. And even sometimes for me, it's like, I wonder how sincere it all is, or, you know, is it a gimmick? What's there? You know what I mean? But I think that the fact that it's happening at all is really important because, what was the Oscars where, was it that, like, Marlon Brando won, and he sent up a Native American woman?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that made history. And there are things that they know that this is a time where a lot of people are watching, and it's like usually about what are you wearing, who's wearing, and it's a very like meaningless in some way experience
right.
mm-hmm. that they're trying to make meaningful. So instead of looking at it like, why do we have to make everything political, it's noticing that things that we used to put no meaning into are suddenly having meaning.
Right, and you have the ability as a celebrity, because I was definitely a long time ago, like, in the camp of just, like, why are we listening to these people? And I still believe that to a certain extent. Like, you don't have, we shouldn't be listening to Ben Affleck talk about, you know,
sexual assault.
Oh, well, definitely not sexual assault. But, like, I remember we were asking fucking Ja Rule's opinion on 9/11 at one point. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain things where I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But
you do have a voice. And if you're using your voice for the power of good rather than evil, I applaud you.
Right, but there is something to be said about the fact that you have a platform and people are going to turn and look at you, and it doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
So what you say and what you wear and how you present yourself, like, it does matter.
Yeah.
So in that way, I like that we are seeing, even if it's a fad, quote unquote.
Just be sincere.
I like seeing that our award ceremonies mean something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and we're coming close to a year of a lot of these, you know, the Me Too
time's
movement,
up and,
Time's
mm-hmm.
Up. And the fact that we are still pushing that into the public eye, I think, is really important. And
right.
Great.
And yeah, and this is just a total aside, but just because we said that about Time's Up, Time's Up is still making strides, guys. I know that a lot of recently, a lot of McDonald's workers are going on strike, women who have joined the It's Me Too McDonald's, because a lot of McDonald's women workers have experienced sexual assault in the workplace.
I didn't know about
and
that.
And they have, you know, escalated their concerns to managers and supervisors, and they were not heard. So the Time's Up Legal Fund is sponsoring or, like, helping pay for a lot of their legal bills.
That's
to go up against a corporation
That's
like
great.
McDonald's. So just so you know, like, that stuff is still happening. It's not just lip service. They're not just here to advocate for celebrities. They're here to advocate for the every woman and women who maybe, women and men, who maybe don't have, like, the financial resources to be able to do that stuff for themselves.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I have a 9/11.
We're doing so good.
I know. We are running through it.
I'm so proud of us, Keegan.
Me
proud
too.
Proud mom moment.
Me too. I have a 9/11 story.
Yay.
Since we're still in September here.
Yes.
If you want to hear it.
I do.
My friend Sienna, who I went to school with whenever 9/11 happened, we both lived in Missouri, she chastised me because she told me that, counter to what I believed, I think we went and picked up my cousins from school, but thank you.
You had a thing on your eye. It was
thank
bothering
you.
Me.
But she told me that they were not actually excused. Why is that so hard for me to say?
I don't know.
From
10:45 at night.
Yeah.
And we've had alcohol.
Yeah. They were not actually excused from class, is what she told me. So she was there for the rest of the day. So she sent me her 9/11 story. It's pretty short. I was in Miss Brobisky's class writing you a note, she says.
Oh my God.
She was writing me a note.
She's like, you're sick and I miss you.
And I remember Miss Brobisky, she did not like me. Yeah, she was not a fan of Keegan.
Was she racist?
I mean, who knows? Who knows? Her son is a little questionable.
Who couldn't love Keegan, you guys?
I was very cute.
You're cute now.
Thank you.
You as a kid, it's
unbelievable. I appreciate that very much. So Sienna was in Miss Probisky's class writing me a note. None of the teachers were allowed to tell us what was going on, but Miss B did say that something tragic had happened. Actually, when we all walked into class, the TV was on, but when students started coming in, she rushed to turn it off. I honestly didn't know what was going on until Dad watched the 6 o'clock news that evening. Then, of course, the next few days, the teachers talked to us more about it. In retrospect, I think it's weird that we weren't let out or even told what was going on. Willard doesn't do too many things right, but every year a group goes around and puts little flags at the end of the driveways in memoriam. So I think that's pretty cool. But anyway, good episode, sis. Love ya. Tell Madigan hi.
Hi. It's funny because my mom actually, I didn't even think about this. My mom was talking to me about that after listening to the episode too, because my mom worked at the school that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a lunch lady, and I guess she had like dropped me off at school. And then a parent was like, did you hear? And she's like, no, what? And so she was watching it a bit. And then by the time she got into work, she worked with, it was a man and then another woman. They were really close, like really good friends, and especially her and this other man. And she came in and she goes, can we get like a TV in here? Like, I feel like I just need to know what's going on. And she said that she must have looked a certain way because he like was like, do we need to call someone else in? Do we need extra help today? Because like, you don't look good. And she's like, I'm fine. And he was like, no, you don't look good. Like, she must have just been very out of sorts. My mom, if you guys haven't listened to earlier episodes, is also a very anxious person and wears her heart on her sleeve, much like I do, and is very emotional. So he must have just picked up on something with her where he's just like, are you okay? And then she does remember, you know, I said that I remembered her working on her jewelry and having the TV playing. And she couldn't believe that I had such specific memories of that day, because I think she thought of me as being such a young person that didn't have those memories. But she was amazed that I could recall or felt so much about it because I was only 9 years old.
Well, it's interesting because everyone I talk to about this does have very specific memories. Like, yeah, the fact that Sienna can remember that she was writing me a note,
yeah,
or what class she was in. You know, it's, I think there's something about trauma that, like, embosses
your memories.
Like, it preserves, yeah, your memories in, yeah, a way. It, like, laminates your memories and, mm-hmm, like, keeps them. And things might get mixed up. I know I read some things about memory and how your memory is often lying to you. Because
definitely,
the more you tell a story over and over, the more I totally believe that they were let out of school. You know, like, things like that. But, yeah, there are certain things that
stick
are
with you.
Just, like, I have memories of being a kid, in like, little kid, because of traumatic events that happened around the same time, things,
yeah,
that I should not be able to remember.
But it's interesting, too, how sometimes trauma will make you forget things.
Right.
It'll,
yeah,
memory is
a very, very tricky thing. Your,
yeah,
brain does things to protect you, you know,
yeah,
and I feel like sometimes that's forgetting things, sometimes that's altering your memories, but sometimes,
yeah,
that's also preserving memories like,
yeah,
that. So thank you, Sienna, for writing
in. Thank you, Sienna.
Yeah. I again, like, send us your 9/11 stories. I'm so fascinated
yeah,
by what people were doing and feeling and experiencing during that time.
And we talked about, like, how life pre and post 9/11 changed the world so much, and kind of, like, we can all kind of commiserate in this tragedy,
yes,
a little bit,
yes,
together. And,
yeah,
it's something of a great support to hear people of all, from all different parts of the country who have experienced the same thing that we did at the,
right,
same time.
And no matter what came out of it politically, you know, there was a lot of really shitty things that came out of it, not,
yes,
just for us, but for more than just us, the rest,
yeah,
of the world.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really terrible consequences. And so I think sometimes people almost feel guilty about feeling bad about 9/11 because of what we then went on to do.
Yeah.
But no matter
the
tragedy still stands. No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, 3,000 people still lost their lives, and it was still a huge, like, scary thing for everyone and
yeah,
for Americans in particular. And,
yeah,
I think it's really beautiful that people in the small town of Willard still go around and put American flags on the ends of people's driveways. You,
yeah,
know, I think that that's beautiful.
Because, you know, the whole hashtag, the whole thing is never forget. And I think that that's something that's really important for us to talk about, what life was like before and what life was like after.
Yeah, I mean, and even more than that, just, like, putting American flags at the end of driveways is saying, like, we're a community. And,
yeah,
like, we're strong and we're here for you.
Yeah, and I think,
you know,
patriotism right now is something that is lacking in a way, because I feel like not all of us are always proud to be an American because of what it represents.
Right.
But the fact that we can all kind of come together over something that was really horrible, but support each other through that, I think is really great.
Yeah. Agreed. So we've made, like, record time.
For real.
On
Anthony's
this episode.
Be so proud,
I know.
I think it's because we're so tired. I'm so,
I know, I'm so
bed,
sleepy, and it's, like, hot in here.
Yeah.
But I still think we crammed in a lot of good stuff.
We did so much good stuff tonight, Kate.
I know. Oh my God, we're amazing.
Oh my God, we should, like, win an award or something.
That'd,
oh,
be,
like, so cool.
One thing that we want to throw out there
is, we won an award?
Oh my God, we won an award. No. But one thing that I do want to throw out there before we close is, if you live in LA, October 13th.
I didn't know we were saying this yet. I was going to say it in the last episode. I thought we were, like, keeping it,
well,
secret.
Well, the Swallows flight already started sharing things.
Okay, that's true. So we can,
so I feel,
we,
like,
can do,
it's,
what we want.
I feel like it's pretty set in stone. There are some details that we obviously can't reveal to you guys yet because we are still,
we have details.
We are still working those things out. We have some meetings and things we need to do,
yeah,
to talk about
adult business stuff to do.
Yeah, that was the sexiest way you could have said that. So, but if you are in the LA area and you are interested in seeing us live, we will be at another live show October 13th, and we will, you know, blast that all over our social media whenever,
yeah,
we...
Yeah, it's going to be in the same location as last time, so if any of you went to the last one or like wannabe sleuths and find that on Instagram. We will put more of that information up very soon. We are really excited about this.
Me too.
We're psyched to be working with Arielle again.
Yeah.
We're psyched for the other stuff that's coming up. It would be great to have more and more listeners show up and represent and be a part of this whole experience because it was so much fun last time.
Yeah, and this one will be fun too. It'll be different than the last
We've
one.
We've already gotten, like, we know what it's about now.
Yeah,
we're not
yeah.
nervous. Yeah. We can do it. So
yeah, it's going to be great. So
it's going to be really fun, you
and
guys.
And if you want to follow that stuff, definitely follow us on social media. So get us on Instagram at Neighborhood Feminist. You can get us
That's
on...
That's not our Instagram handle.
Sorry, at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can get us on... Facebook, we have both a business page and a group, so just Google. Just search.
Okay?
I'm just tired. Just search your Angry Neighborhood Feminist in Facebook, or you can get us on Twitter at YANF Podcast,
YANF Podcast. You kind of harmonized,
I know,
sort of there.
Very nice. You can also send us an email, any of your sister solidarity stories, coming out stories, 9/11 stories. I'd like at least until the end of September to
yeah.
share, you know, 9/11 stories. I think it's...
Or just, like, message us. We got a really sweet message today from a listener who was just like, I just want to sit and drink wine in the closet with you guys. And, like...
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff is, you know, we don't... we've kind of had a lull in messages, and I gotta say, I'm not gonna get into the details of everything, but I've been having a rough ass week and a half. Real fucking rough. And hearing that somebody, like, likes what I have to say and do was something that really meant a lot to me. And just hearing from you guys in general is something that is so special to us. I love that we have certain commenters and messengers that
we recognize.
Yeah, and so whenever I see that they've said something, like, that always makes me feel really good. So we want to hear what you have to say. So please be very vocal with us. We love it. If you want something to be shared or not shared with us, let us know. On the podcast, I mean. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Do we do the thing?
Yeah.
Can I go to bed now?
Yes, please.
Oh, God, I still have to take care of my dog. All right, you guys. With that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.